Want to learn more about the unknown ladies of architecture? Then I recommend you listen to She Builds Podcast, where we tell the stories of remarkable women who have shaped the design and construction industries.
Hi, I'm Jessica.
I'm Nurjiti.
And I'm Lizzie.
After we graduated from Syracuse University School of Architecture, we set out to learn and share the untold stories of women that traditional school curriculum left out.
One day, there's an announcement on campus that women had been seen wearing, quote, inappropriate clothing. Gasp.
What the heck does that mean?
Yeah, so it turns out that Ruth and her fellow classmates were these women. They had field classes where they're doing welding, forging, and foundry work, and obviously they have to wear jeans to those classes instead of, like, dresses or whatever else.
While Gertie was in school, she wasn't just going to classes, trying to stay alive like some of us. I know that was me in school, just taking it day by day.
Yes.
But not Gertie. She became the president of EVIGOL, an honorary association of Cornell women architects.
Of course she did.
These are stories not taught in schools. Women who've molded the world of architecture, construction, and development for over a century.
From Jane Jacobs to Ray Eames, She Builds Podcast explores the legacies of trailblazers. Subscribe now on your favorite podcast platform.
Let's fill the gaps in history together. All you have to do is follow the link in the show notes and subscribe and be part of a movement to expand industry narratives.
Harlem was a wonderful place in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. In the 60s, it went down a little, but now we're back. You know, it's back to its glory days.
Welcome to Tangible Remnants. I'm Nikita Reed, and this is my show where I explore the interconnectedness of architecture, preservation, sustainability, race, and gender. I'm excited that you're here, so let's get into it.
Welcome back. This week's episode is all about the Victoria Theater in New York. I got to chat about the redevelopment project with Joseph Kandoff, a senior project manager in construction administration at Offgang Architects. This theater is located on the same block as the Apollo Theater. Yes, that Apollo Theater. And has an interesting history. Here's the description of the building from the Victoria Theater Redevelopment Project's final environmental impact statement that was prepared in 2013. Quote, "The Victoria Theater comprises two neoclassical style buildings, constructed in 1917 and designed by noted theater architect Thomas W. Lamb. The South Building fronts onto West 125th Street and contains the original entrance and lobby to the theater. The North Building is along 126th Street and contains the former auditorium and other accessory public spaces. The Victoria Theater is historically and architecturally significant under National Register criteria A and C as one of Harlem's surviving vaudeville and motion picture theater buildings." And so, real quick, criterion A on the National Register is defined as properties that possess integrity and are associated with events that have made significant contribution to the broad patterns of our history. Whereas criterion C has a little bit of a broader definition and is defined as properties that possess integrity and embody distinctive characteristics of a type, period, or method of construction, or that represent the work of a master, or that possess high artistic values, or that represent a significant and distinguishable entity whose components may lack individual distinction. All right, back to the description of the building. The Victoria Theater is one of the few theaters of Lamb's early career remaining in New York City. Originally opened as Lowe's Victoria, the theater served as a vaudeville and movie house with over 2,000 seats. For roughly half a century, it was one of the most celebrated theaters in the area. The Victoria Theater was one of four contiguous vaudeville houses on West 125th Street, along with the Apollo Theater, the Harlem Opera House, and the Alhambra Theater. Together, the four theaters were known as Harlem's Opera Row. Along with its neighboring theaters, the Victoria contributed to the reputation of 125th Street and Harlem as a world-class entertainment district. The Victoria Theater continued in use as a film theater until 1977, when Lowe's determined it was no longer economically viable to operate the theater and put the building up for sale. The Harlem Urban Development Corporation, HUDC, which was the predecessor to HCDC, purchased the theater in the 1980s, and its lessee converted the building into 5 film theaters. The theater was once again renovated in the 1990s for use as a live theater, but it had been vacant since 1997 by the time this current redevelopment project started. So that's the description of the building from the final environmental impact statement, and there's a link to the full 600-plus page document in the show notes if you're interested. Now, if you're curious what the building has looked like throughout history, there are a number of photos of the Victoria Theater, thanks to Joseph and his team sending them over to us. So be sure to check out our Instagram page, at Tangible Remnants, to see more of what the building has looked like at various points in its life. And if you want to dig in more to the project and the process, then we definitely left breadcrumbs for you in the show notes, so be sure to check those out too. So before talking to Joseph, I didn't know anything about this project. I actually didn't even realize the Victoria Theater existed. And so it was really fun to talk with him since he was very familiar with the project. And throughout the beginning of the interview, you'll hear me ask many probing questions before we get super deep into the conversation, just so I could try to get a handle on the project itself. And hearing about the ways that the building had to be underpinned and secured was super fascinating. Since I know my mom and mother-in-law might be listening to this, and they're not architects, underpinning is when you reinforce an existing building foundation, and it's typically required when the original foundation isn't strong enough to support a new intervention in the building. During the interview, I'm super glad that Joseph mentioned the various other team members involved in this project. It takes more than just the architect to make building and renovations happen. So shout out to all of the sub-consultants and specialists who help make these projects move forward so easily. And finally, before we get into it, let me give you just a little bit more information about Joseph so you have more context to who he is. He has decades of experience working on a variety of projects in the tri-state area and beyond. His diverse work includes luxury homes and apartments, churches and synagogues, high-end shopping centers, fast food restaurant chains, auto dealerships, schools, and healthcare facilities. His international work also includes architectural consultancy for many luxury homes in Kerala, India. In his position at Ofgang Architects, he's able to incorporate his worldly experience into his everyday design work and brings to the table a wealth of knowledge about designs from all over the world. His vast experience, both personal and professional, comes with a considerable cultural understanding, which is an important factor in any design. So all that said, the next time you're in New York, be sure to visit the Victoria Theater and Hotel at 125th Street in Harlem. And so without further ado, please enjoy this conversation between me and Joseph Kandoff. I am really excited, Joseph, that you're on the show. So thank you for joining today. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself for our listeners and let them know where you are geographically?
So we are in Suffern, New York right now. That's our office. I work for a firm called Ofgang Architects, and we are one of the bigger architectural firms in New York City. Most of our work is done in New York, and I was a project manager for Victoria Tower.
Yeah, and I was really excited when we did some of the pre-call about this building, because I know of the Apollo Theater, as most people do around the world, but the more that you were telling me about the Victoria, that's super close to the Apollo, I was very excited to learn more. So why don't we jump right in and you can tell me a little bit about how this project came to be.
So this gentleman called Steve Williams, he was instrumental in getting this project going. Around 2004, he requested a proposal from Harlem Development Corporation and also Empire State Development Corporation to redevelop this area. And he was a big developer in Harlem, along with Craig Lewis Livingston, and they got together and they won the proposal. And, you know, it was that was probably around 2008. And around 2011 is this project came to our office. So it's been around for a little while. And because of some of the financial issues in the city, in New York City, and, you know, we really got going around 2015 when Danford, Steve Williams, and Exact Capital's Craig Livingston got together with the LAM Group, which are major hoteliers in this in New York City. So they had developed many Marriotts in New York City, and they brought this hotel here around in 2017. That's when we started. Yeah, that's when the Marriott Group got together, when we started building it. It started in 2017, and it just finished a couple of months ago, and we had a grand opening last month.
Gotcha. And so then say a little bit more about the scale of the project, like how many hotel rooms or how many square feet or that sort of thing.
Yeah, so it's 420,000 square foot. It's actually a hotel, apartments, a historic theater, a renovation, and two theaters.
Oh, wow.
So it's 420,000 square foot. It's 191 apartments and 220 hotel rooms.
Oh, my goodness. And then what types of theaters? Are they movie theaters or like performance theaters, that sort of thing?
So the theater is going to be run by the Apollo Theater. So the Apollo is going to run the two theaters that are in there. And on the third and the fourth floor, they will move in. They're going to have their offices in our building, and eventually they'll renovate the offices or make it part of the theater,
okay.
The Apollo Theater.
That makes sense, because I know you'd mentioned that the Victoria was close to the Apollo.
Oh, absolutely. It's literally maybe 100 foot away.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so that makes sense for them to be connected. Okay.
Yeah. Actually, the Victoria Theater was probably closed down, I would say, in the mid-90s. It was in bad shape. It was, you know, water was leaking. But it was one of the most beautiful theaters in that area. It started in 1917 by a very famous architect who did theaters. His name was Thomas Lamb. And during that period, it was the burlesque, song and dance. There were about five theaters there. And eventually, each of them went into disrepair. And only Apollo survived. And then probably in the mid-90s, when the Empire State Development gave this development to Steve Williams to develop, one of the criteria is, well, you have to renovate everything to its glory, at least the lobby. And that also, the lobby also became the lobby for the hotel. You walk into this really historic renovated theater, you can go into the newer theaters, and then to the fifth floor will be the main lobby for the hotels.
That's fascinating. And so then I'm glad that the developers had that vision to be able to say, no, the building needs to be restored instead of gutted and replaced. Are there any historic protections on the building? So is it on the National Register or anything like that?
Yes. I mean, so the theater itself, the entrance and the lobby had to be restored. Most of the rest of it we couldn't restore, was in disrepair. So at least if you come over there, you'll see a beautiful restored hotel. And there was a lot of hard work that went to it. A company called BCA did all the restoration, and it was painstaking.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It came out wonderful.
Yeah, BCA is a great firm. And so then who else made up the team? I know a lot of people think that architects are the ones that do all the work, but there's so many other sub-consultants and engineers that are part of it. Who else is on the team?
Yeah. Sure. Our team consists of course, Ariel Ofgag, he's the principal, and Doris Mesa, who's the associate principal, and Joe Bartolino. We also had AJC, interior design, who was Alicia Cannon. We had a structural engineer, Ruther Bowen, Mark Bowen, and Mike Stramski. The MEP engineers were Energy Engineering, and the theater architects were Costco Greenwood, Michael Costco and Alina Fan were the involved in this. And also the GC was Flintlock, which is a big company. They do a lot of work around hotels.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's great to though shout out the main team that was involved. And so then back to the building protections itself. So remind me, was it listed on the National Register and did it go after any historic tax credits or anything?
That I'm not sure.
Okay.
But it was, you know, when a historic theater goes in disrepair, the city wants to restore all their heritage. So, you know, there were five theaters close by, the Hammerstein Ballroom. Most of them just went away. There was a Cotton Club. There was the Alhambra and, of course, the Victoria and the Apollo Theater. So most of them are gone. I think the Cotton Club is still there all the way on 120th Street. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this the facade was, believe it or not, really beautiful facade. You look at the Apollo Theater and then us. Mm-hmm. It's a very grand, you know, and they build these grand monuments in the, you know, in the 20s and 30s. And, you know, if you lose some of this character, if you destroy it, we'll never get that back. So the city was ESD, Empire State. They were very instrumental in saying, no, this has to be restored and to the painstaking glory. And it was really a lot of work.
Yeah, I believe it. I'm so grateful for that vision because it makes a difference what goes into it. Because a lot of the times, kind of that decision up front, if the building's going to be reused or not, is really going to drive a lot of the design.
Hey, designers and curious minds. Ever wondered about the stories hiding within your building's walls? I'm Carrie Seaburn, structural engineer and host of Unstruct, the podcast that decodes and simplifies major concepts of structural design. Behind the math and physics, structural engineering simply predicts building behavior. Join me as we simplify the complex, making structural design accessible to everyone.
Nowadays, instead of measuring it via cost, we're saying, well, what about carbon, you know? We've got two levers now that we can, if an architect has an inefficient design, we can hit them with two levers, if you like.
The official casualty figure is 55,000. Everybody I talked to told me that the actual figure is at least three times as much. And I believe that. I mean, seeing what I saw, Turkish codes are good and they have been improving, but compliance was completely lacking.
Fluent in steel, concrete, masonry, and timber design, I'll bring you leading engineers to dissect the tales behind their building structure. Whether you're an architect, contractor, engineer, or just love a good story, this podcast is for you.
Yeah, beam penetrations. That's a fun topic on this project.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Unstruct. From within your walls, hear the story behind how your building stands today.
I've mentioned it to my family, but in terms of telling people like, oh yeah, we're doing this, I'm looking for projects, you got anything? Yeah. I'm not there yet because it scares the shit out of me.
Dreaming of launching your own architecture firm? Well, buckle up for a wild ride with Emerging, the podcast that shares what it's really like to start an architecture firm.
Where do we begin? We don't even know what type of business to formalize as. Is it an LLC? Is it an LLP? Like, how are taxes? I mean, the list is astronomical.
Season 1 featured founders Jeffrey, Lexi, and Chris, owners of Level Studio Architecture, are your fearless guides on this unfiltered journey from napkin sketches to a thriving studio.
One evening, stumbled into one last dive, we sat at the bar and pondered our postgraduate futures. Amidst the conversation, a napkin became the canvas for our aspirations, sketching plans and milestones, sealing our heartfelt commitment and shared dreams.
In drawing down dreams on a napkin collectively, that, then, you know, in your head, you've rooted like, oh, I'm connected to these people, like, long term.
The process of starting an architecture practice brims with excitement and challenges, demanding meticulous planning, flawless execution, and unyielding resilience.
I kind of hate the term because it's so overly used, but I think everybody knows imposter syndrome. And I think it's so real to this day. I don't know if it's with everybody, but with me, I'm always questioning like, us, can we do this? Are we ready to do this? Are we prepared? Can we do it?
Did we just decide a name?
We did it, guys.
Oh my
God. That came out of nowhere.
Woo! It came out of nowhere. I liked it. I saw it.
Ready to turn your aspirations into reality? Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Emerging and chart your own path to architectural success.
Of course, we can destroy our history. This is one of the oldest cities, believe it or not, even though we are a new city. We have a lot of beautiful buildings all over.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I know that New York also is one of the more progressive states in terms of blending sustainability into their historic buildings. Can you talk a little bit about some of the sustainable features that, or kind of some of the ways that you had to work with the building to make that happen?
I mean, obviously we have affordable homes. We always follow the latest standards of New York City. And New York is very stringent on HVAC, many other things, and also extreme, you know, the glazing, the exterior facade. So we always followed everything that New York City told us to do.
Yeah. What were some of the surprises that you had when working on the project? So any sort of like things that, as you were kind of going through on the seeing the existing conditions or trying to work through some of the various challenges and opportunities that came up on the project?
So the theater itself, we didn't touch it, the foundation of it, but everything around of it, it's a new building. So in that sense, you know, we really didn't have to worry. Of course, you have to save the footprint of the Victoria Theater. And also we had to also underpin two sides to have the new building being built. And of course, our neighbor from the back is the Apollo Theater. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, of course, you know, and they were also a client who was going to come in. So of course, we had to be very careful on that. And, you know, today, the technology is wonderful that you can underpin many things and, mm-hmm. and not worry about it. New York does that, you know, to every of their buildings. You know, when you see a building go down, you know, there's always buildings all around them.
Right.
So that was not an issue.
Gotcha.
It's just, you know, the only issue we had was COVID. And it really took about 3 years away from us.
Oh, you know, okay.
Once COVID hit, that was the only issue for the building. You know, when people go away, you know, when we had only 30 people working on it, we should have like 300
right.
people.
Right.
You know, and then it took a year for everyone to come back. So that took away some of our spirit,
yeah,
I would say.
Understandable. Yeah, it is still kind of weird that, you know, I think as a society, as we're getting back into the swing of things, we're like, yeah, COVID was a thing that really happened to all of us for those years.
It's amazing how we quickly forgot about it. Now we just, I remember when I first went back and there were so many people, literally 200 people have left from the job site. And when we came back, they all had masks and gloves and you know, and we quickly forgot about that. And I think it's, you know, we're going to forget about it 5 years from now.
Right, exactly. So. Yeah, it's super interesting. And so then for the theater project, was there also another architect that you were working with on the project?
So it's Costco Greenwood.
Okay.
And they are specialized in doing theaters. So Ofgang is the architect of record for the hotel and the entire building. But the theater design were done by them because they specialize in it. You know,
yeah.
Most of this kind of field, you know, it's special soundproofing, it's, you know, seating and acoustics. So they were very good at that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I think a lot of times it's important, and just more so for the listeners, it's mm-hmm. important to know that architects specialize in certain things because there are so many different types mm-hmm. of building types and types yeah. of uses that require different specialties.
Yeah, even restoration. Yeah, even restoration, it's his own little field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's great to bring in someone who has a little bit mm-hmm. more specialized experience, who can sometimes see around some of the corners. Because I know in a lot of our theater projects as well, we'll bring on theater consultants or lighting designers mm-hmm. or different people who are thinking about some of the things that, you know, as someone who doesn't work in that space every day, we're not necessarily thinking about.
Yeah, so that's helpful. Especially when you have Apollo as your client.
Exactly. I can only imagine all of yeah. the requirements.
No, you know, it's funny. I've been working there for about 7 years. And during that course, you know how many famous people came by? You know, it's like from Jay-Z to Bruno Mars. And I would see their truck in the back. You know, they would close down 126th Street. Oprah came by.
Oh,
so, you know,
gosh.
Everyone wants to be associated. If you're the who's who
right.
in the music industry, you want to play over there. The Red Hot Chili Peppers, Metallica, and
oh my gosh.
It's funny. I was coming back. I was rushing home to pick up my daughter, and one of the supervisors goes, "Do you know who was handing out tickets outside?" I said, "Who?" I said, "Bruno Mars." I said, "I love him." You know, so I was like, "Oh, I wish I would have taken that route. I usually go to the back and leave." So it was so many famous. And you know, one of the things that we want to do is that when these great artists, they come and go. And we're like, you know what? You can have the after party in the hotel. We have a great lobby, beautiful restaurants. We're going to have outdoor restaurants that are going to see the entire city because we're located in the center of 125th Street. So we have the most amazing views, you know. So that's what we want to get, you know, yeah. After, you know, don't rush to, you know, Midtown.
Right, stay exactly. Here.
We have beautiful things, you know. And Harlem has so many beautiful, you know, restaurants. So many new things have come in the last, I would say, 15, 20 years. Mm-hmm. And also getting President Clinton to come, one of the owners who was Steve Williams, him and Charlie Rangel, you know, got President Clinton to come to Harlem and stay there. Obviously, the whole story was he was going to be in Midtown. And it was, and people were outraged how expensive the rent was.
Right.
And it was like $15,000 a month. But then Steve had an office close by. He said, hey, President Clinton, stay here. You know, and once he came here, and I really believe it was a renaissance for Harlem. And of course, he claims to be the first black president. So, and so you know, it was very fitting.
Right. And this was back when he was like still during his presidency as opposed to recently?
Yeah. No, after the presidency.
Okay.
You know, after the presidency, usually presidents get an office, you know, they're entitled to certain things.
Right. Oh, that's awesome.
Since then, you know, Whole Foods, Magic Johnson has a bunch of theaters that are close by. The Red Rooster, which is a very nice restaurant. Of course, there's Rouse. There's so many. There's Sylvia's, which is, you know, two blocks over. Mm-hmm. So there's so many things there. And since I started there, there's at least 10 new buildings coming around, which is fantastic.
Oh, wow.
Harlem deserves great things.
Absolutely. So. Wow, that's mm-hmm. impressive that it's having mm-hmm. its own building renaissance there. I always forget
absolutely.
That, you know, I often think of Harlem, just kind of Harlem from the 20s and the Harlem Renaissance and all that.
Oh, no.
But it's not that anymore. It's totally evolved into Harlem of today.
Exactly. Harlem is a great place to be. You know, and our building, we have a beautiful building. It goes from 125th to 126th, 126th Street. Is the residential part, and it's, you know, it's wonderful. I've become a fan of Harlem, you know, since working there for 7 years. Wonderful right. food, wonderful people. It's mm-hmm. great.
Oh, that's awesome. So for the building, so I'm thinking of circling back to the building and some of the logistics of it. Mm-hmm. So of the apartments, was it a mix? What was kind of the unit layout mix? Or was it more studios or more kind of one or two bedrooms?
No. That's a mix of it. We have studios, one bedrooms, two bedrooms, and half of them is affordable. It's affordable houses, you know.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's wonderful. Yeah. And we, of course, we have a lot of rooms that are ADA compliant, and, you know, so it's a wonderful apartment.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm excited to like look more at the photos because listeners, I'm also like, I've seen the building from the outside.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of great things to look at on the Instagram.
So, you know, I'll send you pictures where it was a hole in the ground, you know, and even if you look at some of the older pictures, you know, Harlem was a wonderful place in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and the 60s, it went down a little, but now we're back, you know, it's back to its glory days, you know, like any other place, you know, right. If you look at New York City, you know, the meat market was considered one of the worst places. You wouldn't even walk through that in mm-hmm. the 60s, 70s. Now it's one of the most fashionable places. And I think the same thing is going to happen to Harlem. You know, Harlem has so many beautiful brownstones. People don't realize that. So when I used to come home and I was trying to avoid some of the traffic, I would cut through some of these. And I'm like, this is beautiful. This Harlem is fantastic. They have just as many beautiful brownstones in Harlem than any other place in New York.
Oh, that's awesome. Amazing to hear. Thinking about the famous people that you're mentioning that were kind of coming through the site during construction mm-hmm. for the renovation.
Oh, they didn't come through. They were going to the Apollo.
Right, going to the Apollo. I'm just thinking of the...
But you would always see them, you know, you always see them. You're like, wow.
But just thinking of the generation of musicians who are going to the Apollo kind of now and how it would probably be something similar back when the Apollo first started and all of the famous people who may have gone from Harlem to Victoria to Cotton Club, et cetera.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I think we'll get that back again, you know, once the theaters are not opened yet.
Okay.
They'll be shortly opening up in the spring. And then you'll have that synergy, you know, all the hotels, the restaurants, everything like that.
Yeah. Oh, that's exciting. For the building itself, I'm wondering about the way that it's going to kind of keep stitching the fabric together of the block and of the area. Have there been a lot of, I know there's been some renovations, but are most of the buildings that are kind of on that block, are they still historic buildings, or have there been a lot of tear downs and kind of new builds in that area?
You know, there was a lot of tear downs by Adam Clayton Powell. There's like two new buildings that have popped up, actually about three of them on one side. And as you go down 126, there's about, I'd say, five buildings that are popping up. And the end of 125th Street, there's a 30-story building coming up. And there's the business campus for Columbia University. There's about five buildings there. Mm-hmm. So when you come through there, you'll see the difference.
Okay.
You'll start seeing a lot of improvement. You know, I mean, look, I want improvement in Harlem, you know. Mm-hmm. I want my mother, your mother, to walk through safely.
Yeah.
And when new buildings come in, that's what you get. You know, people take pride. And I'll give you perfect example. About a month ago, I went to see how the hotel was. Mm-hmm. I walked into the lobby and I said, hey, you know, I worked here for about 7 years. Mm-hmm. Like, who are you? You know, and because it was, you know, the Renaissance had taken over.
Right.
And I started talking to the concierge. And one of the things the concierge said is, you know, tell Ariel Ofgang, he's the architect of record, thank you very much. Because basically what she was saying was, this is the new center of Harlem. People are coming in here to have a drink.
Awesome.
And people from all over the world. You go to the fifth floor lobby. Mm-hmm. It's a spectacular lobby. You want to have a drink. You want to have something to eat. And you see tons of people just taking pictures because it's visually stunning. And I have to give Alicia from AJC all the credit for that too. You know, and that was nice to hear. You know,
yeah.
That's what you want to hear. You want to hear that, wow, this place makes a big difference.
Absolutely.
And we do, you know, and even the hotel manager, he's like, you know what, I love it. Mm-hmm. This was my destiny to come here. You
know? Wow.
Lewiston was an amazing person. Yeah, and he goes, he left a job, and this job was open for him. They called him back, and he said, I love it. I want to be in Harlem.
That's amazing.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and wait until the hotel's rooftop bar opens up.
Mm-hmm.
We have, I will tell you, you can see all of Central Park. You can see the east side,
wow,
the west side, and the entire, we're in the middle. So you see the Central Park as a rectangle, mm-hmm, and you see three skylines, Central Park West, Central Park East, and Central Park South. So it's spectacular to go up there.
Wow.
And see, yeah, and New York City is just growing like crazy, you know, so you'll see. And we're the highest in 125th Street at the moment. And they don't want anyone to build in front of it. They rezoned it, so no. So we'll have unobstructed views.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's spectacular. Yeah, it is.
Wow.
Yeah, I love it.
Wow.
And if you next time you come,
yeah,
go to the top,
okay,
and just stare into Central Park. And in the gaps, you'll see Times Square, all the glitter of Times Square. It's wonderful.
You know, I love it.
I'm so excited. Yeah, you have to go. You know?
I do. It's 2024. I know I'm going to go be when I'm in New York. That's amazing.
Oh yeah, summers are wonderful in New York.
Yeah,
summers and spring. You have to come during that time.
Yeah, that's fair. Winter is not so much. It's a little chilly. I'm going to come.
But the hotel, our hotel is very nice. You can come stay in the hotel.
Fair. All right, that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. And so then I guess as we're, you know, getting to the end a little bit, do you want to talk a little bit about some of the work that your firm does? Because I assume this is not a one-off project and this type of work is something that you all do.
In square footage, we are like the fourth largest firm in New York. We have so many buildings going on, and you know, Ari Ofgang is a star. He's a young man. He's you know, I'm 15 years older than him, or 20 years. When I first met him, I was like, wow, he's a pretty young kid, mm-hmm, doing this. But you know what? Some people have it, and he's one of these people who has it. And we do all type of work. We do in all the boroughs. We have high rises. We do hotels. We do low income. We do everything. Theater. There's nothing our office cannot do.
Right.
And, you know, we have about 70 people working for us, and, you know, with the administrator and everything. So, and growing.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is so exciting. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm super excited to be able to share photos of the Victoria Theater and get mm-hmm. more people knowing about the history of it. Because until we talked and yeah. did our pre-call, I had no idea that the Victoria Theater was on the same block as the Apollo and kind of ran in the same circles or even existed.
Yeah, exactly. We are literally 100 foot away and we have a new, it's not a renovated canopy with a huge sign mm-hmm. restored of, it says Victoria. You can't miss it.
Right.
You'll see the Apollo sign, which everyone knows, you know, mm-hmm. but then our, to be fair, I think our sign is a little better. You know, it lights up. It's spectacular. You won't miss it. And to have the two theaters right next to each other is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I hope more theaters open up.
Yeah, me too. Cause that sounds like such a great space to be in there, to mm-hmm. be able to experience all of it. Oh, that's exciting.
Hey, you know what?
Yeah.
It was funny. I was, before, maybe an hour ago, I just quickly looked up who are some of the most famous people there. Mm-hmm. I'm like, from Harlem. I'm like, oh my God, there's Sammy Davis Jr., Diddy, Milton Berle. I can name, I was Cicely Tyson.
Wow.
Just look at it. I can name a little, there's like 30 of these.
Yeah.
And it's amazing people. You know, Adam Clayton Powell, mm-hmm. Charlie Rangel. These people became, you know, congressmen, some of the greatest stars in the world. So, you know, Harlem's pretty wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know what? The other thing is, when you ever come through there, and obviously you're going to walk through the Apollo, there's a walk of fame under the Apollo. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you walk through it, you're like, you know, these are the greatest stars in the world.
Wow. I forget that the Apollo has that, because it's kind of like, you know, that's, mm-hmm. I think people often think of like the Hollywood Walk of Fame, but mm-hmm. it's like, all right, the Apollo is on that level, has that as well. Yeah, that's fantastic.
I would say, you know, Harlem, you know, the type of people that came, I mean, to the Apollo Theater and hopefully now into our Victoria Theater, I mean, it's incredible. Michael Jackson, didn't I say anymore? That's it. You know, he was there, Jackson 5, you know, some of the best stars. It's like a mecca. You have to come there mm-hmm. in your life. If you're a huge star, you have to at least play there once. And I hope that same spirit is going to come to Victoria Theater, since, you know, the offices are there, the Apollo office, and they're going to be running it.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Well, this is amazing. Anything else you want to mention before we wrap up, or any place you want me to send people to find out more about you or the project?
You can always look at our Offgang, our website, and, you know, the wonderful things that we do and we keep doing, and come to Harlem. That's what I say. Come enjoy, you know, it's a safe, all the stereotypes you had from 20 years ago, they're all gone, you know, and look, most of the stereotypes in this world are down too, you know,
right.
and whoever they are, they're dinosaurs and they'll go away too.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah. Come visit, enjoy. It's another integral part of New York City. Mm-hmm. This hotel and Victoria Tower.
Thank you so much for listening. Links to amazing resources can be found in the episode's show notes. Special thanks to Sarah Gilberg for allowing me to use snippets of her song Fireflies from her debut album, Other People's Secrets, which, by the way, is available wherever music is sold. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to the show. And now that Tangible Remnants is part of the Gable Media Network, you can listen and subscribe to all network partner content at gablemedia.com. That's gablemedia.com. Until next time, remember that historic preservation is a present conversation with our past about our future. We don't inherit the earth from our parents, but we borrow it from our children. So let's make sure we're telling our inclusive history.
I saw the first fireflies of summer, and right then I thought of you. Oh, I could see us catching them and setting them free. Honey, that's what you do. That's what you do to me.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and this sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure. And when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay. We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.